So what do you think that is about yourself that kind of pushed you there?
Actually, I have no idea. It's just if I like something and I think it sounds interesting, I'm going to try my hand at it. And I'm not afraid to fail, which yeah. I think is something that a lot of people really fear. Mm. You know, they fear failure. They fear, what are people going to say about me? What's everyone going to think? And I mean, yeah, you are a bit apprehensive at times. Those things do go through your mind, but I think that's what it comes down to. Like, I'm always interested in so many things.
Yeah.
Oh, and I've always had this thing where I just want to have a full life.
Hi, I'm Aisha Baker, and you're listening to Bake the Podcast, brought to you by Satiskin. Today, we chat to Akila Haran. We talk about her social media career and her upcoming book. Let's get into it with Akila. Okay, Kiki. I call you Kiki because that's your nickname.
Yeah.
Let's chat a bit about you, the industry and your job. So when we started out, I think we called it blogging.
Yeah.
Blogging in, when did we start?
That actually, I'm like, oh.
I know, it makes me feel old. When did we start? Was it like 2009, 2010, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what inspired you to start a blog at that stage of your life?
At that time. Now I want to laugh a bit.
Because, it's like 10 years ago.
Yeah, 10 years ago. At the time, so I was in my third year at uni and I was studying media. And everything that we were learning about was Jacob Zuma this, Jacob Zuma that. And I was like, oh my goodness, I don't want to do political media at all. I want to go into fashion media.
Yeah.
And I want to go and work at a magazine. So I started my blog as kind of a way to get experience and do that. And I just talked about anything, you know, I was styling shoots with my friends and I was writing about, you know, fashion in the latest movies that were coming out. And I was writing about some of the trends I was seeing as if I already worked for a magazine. That was kind of
Of created your own like media house.
Yeah, in my mind.
In your mind.
I looked terrible.
But you're also a jack of all trades because you did photography, brilliant writer. You did a little bit of radio at UCT as well. So what do you think it is about yourself, your Libra self, that makes you so fluid and able to try loads of new things? Because not everyone is willing to go like, okay, I'm going to try photography, but then I'm also going to try and be on radio and then I'm going to try styling. So what do you think that is about yourself that kind of pushed you there?
Actually, I have no idea. It's just if I like something and I think it sounds interesting, I'm going to try my hand at it. And I'm not afraid to fail, which I think is something that a lot of people really fear. Mm. You know, they fear failure. They fear, what are people going to say about me? What's everyone going to think? And I mean, yeah, you are a bit apprehensive at times. Those things do go through your mind. But I think that's what it comes down to. Like, I'm always interested in so many things.
Yeah.
I've always had this thing where I just want to have a full life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been about, I want to have a full career.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously now we are in the thick of all the COVID.
Yeah.
Like, I had the biggest plans for 2020. Yeah. And now I'm like, okay.
It's so funny. Someone tweeted the other day, like, they were like, retweet if you felt that you really had, for once in your life, had your shit together before this disease happened. And I totally felt that way.
I seriously felt that way. I was like, borderline, literally about to hire an assistant because I said, I can't do this anymore. I need help.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where I was at. I actually had to, I think it was like literally about 2-3 weeks ago. Abdul Malik was getting a haircut. So I went and I sat down for coffee and I'm like, wait, I need to map this out properly. And I said to him, when he came back, I said, there are 7 business ventures I really want to do. And I know I can do this. And I know I can be freaking amazing at it. And now we kind of have to stall.
I'm so positive. Sensitive. Yeah.
Yeah. And also something that I've learned recently is to manage your expectations.
Yeah.
And not feel like you need to do everything now.
All at once, right?
There is no such thing
as a
timeline.
But don't you feel that came with being 30?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
It's like the best feeling.
So when you turn 30, you unlock a superpower.
Yeah, it's so dope.
There's this thing inside you and it cracks open and you can't put it back and you'll never want to put it back. And it's really like, wow, nothing can stop me.
Mm.
I'm not scared of anything. I'm going to step into this space and I'm going to own it.
Yeah.
And this is going to be mine.
And don't
and
you
it's
feel
not
like
from a cocky point of view, it's just like this inner, it's actually like a confidence. Inner peace even, you know?
Don't you feel like also when you turn 30, there's that sort of, I don't know, this thing falls away from you of like, I think in your 20s, you're very self-conscious.
Yeah.
But it's more so about the expectations you set for yourself in your 20s, where you're like, I need to, like, for example, go work for a magazine and then become the editor and then do this and then do that. Mm. And by 30, I need 5 kids and I need this. And then you get to 30, you're like, oh, I didn't do any of the stuff I wanted to do when I'm 20, but I'm still super happy and I feel really accomplished. It's a great feeling.
So I realized last year, you know, I had all these goals because I kind of have like a part-time team. I don't have anyone full-time with me. So, you know, there's a manager and I have 2 people who coach me with YouTube.
Yeah.
And a video editor. And even I took everyone for high tea at the beginning of the year. And I was so stoked. And I'm like, guys, this is what we're going to do this year. And then again, I kind of started a lot of those projects. They're still underway.
Yeah.
But it's taking a little bit longer. And I didn't manage my expectations. And at the same time, I pursued things that weren't part of my plan.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And
like doors that came to you that opened themselves.
And then you pursue that and you kind of have to put things on hold.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure everyone was like, babe, like, what's happening? But, you know.
No, okay. I love.
Still on the way.
That's the thing, like, for me as well, variety is a spice of life for me.
It is. No, it definitely
and
is.
I need to have, like, a few things, you know, a few irons in the fire, I think that's the phrase, to make things enjoyable. Because you do get bored. And a lot of people don't know about doing this thing, this influencer thing. There are boring aspects to it.
So boring.
So what for you is the most boring aspect?
You know, I was explaining this to somebody the other day because they're like, oh, how do you just come up with these really great ideas? Like, especially when you do ads, because I really like to challenge myself to make my ads really creative. Because I think about the times when we watch TV and you see that really cool ad on TV and you don't mind watching it 5 times.
Yeah.
I want my ads to be like that, you know? So they said, but now how do you do that? And I said, you know what? There's such a process. And I think I came up with like 10 steps. So if we go through them very quickly.
Yes, please go through them. I think like, it's so beneficial.
Yeah. The first step is you'll get your client brief. Okay. Client has the expectations. This is what they want. This is what the product does. You obviously try the product if it's beauty or whatever. So that's number one. But there's always like a key message with it. You know, so I basically take that key message. I sit at my desk. I kid you not. I sit at my desk. I close my eyes and I visualize and I do, you know, word association with that. And I think to myself, you know, what words come
that's
to
dope.
Mind? Yeah. So I first do that because then, you know, those ideas, they come from you and they come from the heart. And it's just like something that's sitting inside you. And I think that's where you get the whole creativity buzz from. Anyways, so we do that. And then I kind of write it down.
So do you mind map it or you have a mood board or the pictures?
Because something...
You are a word person. I know that about you.
But something that I learned last year is that when you type, you use the logistical side of your brain.
Yeah.
And when you write, you actually use your creative side.
Oh, my word. That I didn't even know.
So I do both. Even when I write a blog post, I write down point form in a notepad next to me. So I just like, go through notepad.
So you must have a really nice handwriting because I feel like...
No, it's horrible.
Really?
I can write really well, but I just scribble. Can I tell you something really funny, totally off topic though?
Yeah.
Literally 2 days I was doing some coronavirus spring cleaning and I found like a love letter from you.
Really? Oh my god, I miss writing letters. I used to write letters to all my friends. Like, it started in high school, actually.
Yeah.
We had this letter club because a few of us got into trouble for talking too much in class. So we started, so we started this note thing where we would like pass each other notes and like fold it in triangles and different shapes. And then I like kept that going, I think, for a while. Now that I'm married, I don't write letters anymore. I wish I still did.
I know. Oh, yes, but wait, we need to take people through the checklist.
Oh, yeah, go back.
sorry, guys.
Variety is a spice of life.
So basically, so then I visualize and then I make notes. And then from there, I go into Pinterest and I just kind of type in some of those words that come to mind and see what comes up. And then I'll always type in the word, you know, editorial, beauty editorial, fashion editorial, so that we hone in on the search. And then I see if I can kind of find a reference that is
similar,
giving me the vibes that I'm feeling. And then I kind of take it to Abdul Malik and we'll sit and we'll discuss where we can shoot.
And Abdul Malik's your husband, for those who don't know.
And my photographer. So we kind of just come up with the concept from there. You know, if we need to go and source wardrobe, we plan where we need to go source. So those emails need to go out. Sourcing wardrobe, sourcing props, figuring out where we are going to shoot. So we also have like, I have like a note on my phone with all my locations that are.
Like a little Ricky.
Yeah, no, it's just like, I know which ones work and which don't. What time of day to shoot. Like we said, we've been doing this for 10 years. You just know.
And I think what's cool about you is because you come from a magazine background, you did work in magazine briefly. Yeah.
Taught me so much.
Yeah, and you got that procedure down where you like how to put a shoot together because a lot of people don't know that.
But I never used to follow the procedure. I would say up until like only like I would say in the last 2-3 years, I kind of found my way and realized like, listen, you need to run this as a business. Yeah. This is your business. This you need to run it as a magazine. And that's kind of where I think things got a lot better for me.
Yeah.
In terms of like my creativity and the jobs we were getting. Because you have to. It's the only way. Because a lot of people look at Instagram and they think it's, you know, like, I don't know if you've seen that diagram that was going around with the tip of the iceberg where people kind of just think, oh, it's just standing in front of a building and you just take a quick picture and oh, she's so rich and she has all these fab clothes. Yeah. Like, it doesn't work like that at all. Everything is planned out.
Yeah.
And then of course, then you shoot, you edit, you send it to the client for approval. There's back and forth. And then something I've also gotten very into. It's a big trend apparently now, and it's apparently what's going to get you more engagement in 2020 and going forward is to do long captions. And you know, I love to write. So I take a solid, and now it sounds dramatic, but sometimes I take an hour or two just to write a caption.
I admire really that so
think
much.
Think about it. Like sometimes I'm just like, I set up to my, like, you can't speak to me right now because I'm like,
caption formulating.
I write the caption and I sit there and I go into my notes and I take an hour or two to write it. And it's because I know people don't necessarily want to go for those meaty, hearty pieces onto the blog right now. It's just too much effort. But I think that when people scroll on Instagram, they're really searching for humanity in the app right now. Because the thing is this, the reason why the app became so popular is because it went against the grain of what magazines gave us.
Yeah.
Magazines sold us perfection and girls were all beautiful in a specific way. And then Instagram turned that on its head. But then it feels now like Instagram is going back into that same
thing. With like Instagram that, face and Instagram, you know what I mean? Body and Instagram shots.
Everything.
Yeah.
And everything is so perfect. And you can still have that, but you got to balance it out with something. Totally. So for me, it's like, you've got to lean into your flaws. You've got to lean into your insecurities, into your vulnerability. And there's so much strength and power in that. And there's so many people that want to learn from that. So that's why I think also with turning 30, like we said, you don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I tell people everything. I don't care. I'm like, I have fillers. I did this. I did that. You know what? I was
Let's talk about stuff like, you know? Like that that gets a bit like, I was thinking about it the other day because I also have filler. And what happened to me, my producer shocked. He knows I have filler.
That's when you know.
Because I got botched. Good. I got botched.
And, no way.
And I phoned Simi because I thought Simi, who's my producer, would find it hilarious because he loves that kind of stuff. So I called him with like a botched mouth. I was like, bah, 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 bah. So what had happened was I got filler previously. Because you remember I used to have really dry lips. Like it was embarrassing. Like, let's be honest.
I remember you
It was like desert dry.
No, you always used to complain about it. And you're like, I'm going to do filler because it's the only thing. And I had a twitch.
I remember your twitch.
I was like, what twitch kept me alive? Yes, awake
you used
the
to
whole
have
night.
A lip twitch. Yeah, I think it was on the left.
Yeah.
Am I right? Okay. Yeah. No, so I had those like desert dry lips that used to peel and crack. And it was really, I think for me, when it was humiliating was when I would work on set and then, like, you see makeup artists struggling. And then, like, I think Renee DeWitt, who did my makeup for Cosmo once, she was like, oh my God, babe, I'm so sorry. Like, you have to deal with this. And I was like, finally, someone feels sorry for me. She's like, no, you need to use this scrub, whatever. It was a Switch Beauty scrub. I used it and I was like, it still didn't work. And she's like, I've never seen the scrub not work on somebody. She's like, you should actually do something more. So I went to a doctor, got filler. And it was just the hyaluronic acid filler, not
mind
much.
Mind you, Juvederm.
Not much filler in it.
Yeah.
And then that day that I got it done, my lips were obviously swollen and I liked the way that that looked.
Yeah.
Then I went on normal year. I didn't tell anybody about it besides like people in person if they asked me.
Same, nobody knew. I told people.
Yeah. I was like, do you know I have filler? Look.
You get so excited.
Yeah, can you see? So then No one noticed, and my lips didn't look any different to what they always look. Then I had to go for the redo, like the following year. And I told my doctor I wanted to look like I looked that day that she did it. So she was like explaining to me, like, no, I can't use Juvederm. I have to use a different product and all this stuff.
Don't tell. Did you use, what is the name? Do you know Restylane?
No, it's called something with the M, I think.
Because I did a Restylane one, and it also kind of botched a bit.
No, so then she told me, she warned me, and she's like, listen, it's going to look like you had it done for a while, like for 3 months. So I was like, no, it's fine, just do it. And then I don't use anesthetic when I do it, I just do it straight. So then I was like, you were sitting really extra today.
Because it's thicker, the solution.
And I thought maybe it's like I'm on my period, maybe it's that or whatever. I leave the doctor, I'm like, oh my God, I look like Kris Jenner when she had that.
What did you do?
It's so bad.
Did you go melt it down?
No, because I spent money on it. So I was like, what do I do? So I iced it, whatever. I came home, my husband was like, stop. And I was like, no.
Did he know that you did it before?
No, he never did.
And then I know you would be like, what the hell?
Yeah, yeah, he did stuff. So then he's like, stop. And I was like, no, I just didn't go to the toilet. And then he's like, no, stop. He's like, come here. I was like, no, please don't. And I took it away and he just burst out laughing. He's like, what did you do? It looks terrible. And I was like, I need to phone.
At least he laughed.
I was like, I need to phone everybody I know. So I phoned Sammy, I phoned everyone. For my family, my dad was like, please, I'll pay for you to take it out. I was like, it looks really bad. Anyway, as you can see, it eventually dissolved.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, do I post about this online? Because it's quite a funny story. Yeah. But then I felt like, no, I didn't want to post about it because I don't want to make people feel like under pressure to get fuller. My beauty doesn't come from fuller. I am beautiful anyway.
No, definitely. I think, you know why I got it is because a lot of people don't realize this, but well, I've actually had people make fun of me already for the way I speak because my lips kind of do this thing where they would go skew. And I'm like, it's because my mouth is actually a bit lopsided.
Yeah.
So actually the first time I did it, I corrected the shape.
Yeah.
And then...
it looks the same to me.
Yeah, you see. And so I corrected the shape. But if you actually look back at my old YouTube videos, you'll definitely notice
the difference. You can see the when you speak.
My bottom lip was like quite back, so I just like pushed it out. That's why I still look the same. It was just like the lip being brought out, whatever. Yeah. So also mine, like obviously after like 6 months or so, it kind of dissolves back into the body. And then the second time around, I also said to my doctor that I do want something that's going to last a bit longer. So she gave me, did I say that? I can't remember. Or she
but
used
it does feel
different.
Like it doesn't really last because it's like so quick.
And you know what I noticed though is that people get so used to seeing themselves with it as well. So because they get used to seeing themselves with it, then they want more and they want more. And you actually must it. Like, so sometimes what I do is I go back into my old pictures and I'm like, you see, you don't look like that anymore. Just. You stay in your lane.
I think I couldn't tell the difference. Like after this last mistake, I'm definitely not going to do that again.
So my one they used Restylane, which was like a bit firmer, and then it was just bigger. So it wasn't a botch. It wasn't a botch. I wouldn't call it a botch because
I don't think mine was botched either.
It was just bigger than I expected, and it was a bit firmer. So I just had it melted down, put the Juvederm back in.
I actually want to find the name of it eventually and tell you what it was.
I've got a Restylane skin booster though, and that's amazing. That's when they inject filler all over your face, but it's to give you hydration. So it's literally like having moisturizer under your skin. It's amazing.
I think it's called, I'm talking about the wrong thing completely. I was about to tell you my child's vaccine. I think it is Restylane.
It could be.
Yeah, probably. I have a bad memory for that kind of stuff. I'm like, just put it in me. So we went through a bit of your creative process. So I want to touch on your ebook that's launching. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be more around that process?
Yes. Okay. So basically,
ebook and not a regular book?
An ebook because, especially with my YouTube, I unexpectedly grew my audience quite a bit more overseas as well. So I've got, you could say about like 40% are UK and US, which is
Whoa, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really random.
From YouTube?
From YouTube.
That's so cool. Would you ever move over to the UK?
I would love to. Yeah. I love the UK.
What does your husband feel about the UK?
He's like, whatever, it's so cold. You know, he's like, he's always miserable in the cold. But I must say, when we were in New York last night, he was such a soldier. But otherwise, I promise you, you cannot handle the cold.
Yeah,
he's the most miserable person. It's the only thing that makes him
You know, in spring in the UK, I'm like miserable. And it's spring. Like spring. My husband's like, it's not even that cold. I'm like, it's 5 degrees. Are you joking? I don't want to be.
I can deal with cold, but like, he's like, no.
That's I feel like you would work so well.
I was dreading him going with me.
Yeah.
I didn't expect the brand to say you could take him with it. I was like, maybe I should ask somebody else to come with me.
Aren't you glad you took? So let's tell the audience why you went to New York first.
So we went for New York Fashion Week.
Okay. It was your first New York Fashion Week.
Yeah, with Theresa May. Yeah, so they invited me because I've got a 3-month campaign running with him at the same time.
Okay.
And yeah, and then, you know, they wanted me to create a certain amount of content and stuff for YouTube as well. And then I kind of said to them, like, I can't do all of this on my own.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people.
No, you cannot.
A lot of people or a lot of brands don't always get that. And luckily they got that. And they said, okay, cool. You can take them with. And
I always used to say, like, if you're going to send me on a trip, either you send someone to take the content or.
There must be somebody there.
Because it becomes really taxing. Especially those trips are quite quick. Eh?
Yeah, they're very quick. They're so tiring as well. I mean,
what was your schedule like for fashion?
My schedule was quite nice, actually.
Guys stayed at the public hotel, right?
Yeah, we stayed at public hotel.
That's so cool.
We were also there, right?
No. We had a whole different experience.
Really?
I didn't have a fancy schmancy experience because I paid for my own trip.
Yeah.
So it was like really budget and quite hectic.
Yeah, but I mean, New York is so expensive. I was like, yo, every time the two of us are going to eat
Did you use the subway?
Yeah, but like only twice. It was so cold. We just couldn't deal.
Yeah, that's the thing when it's winter there because it's like, what, 10 degrees out?
Sure, it was like 5, I think.
Was it snowing at all?
No, I was a bit sad. I was like, you know what? If you're going to be this cold, you're going to at least snow.
Oh, you day, I would hate the snow. I landed there in snow the first time my fashion week that I went on. It was so cold. I like was so disappointed because I was so excited.
But I actually messaged some of my influencer friends who live overseas or who live in the States. And I'm like, Marwa, why are you posing in the street with like one layer on? And it's like, because I went back in a feed because I needed to understand. Like, because I'm seeing the weather.
Like,
I'm
what's wrong with me?
I'm like looking at Tessa's post. I'm like, girl, you're in a blazer.
Yeah.
And it's saying 4 degrees.
How hectic are like those influencers? They wear no clothing. No, and I'm like, it's so cold.
No. I'm just like, no. And then Marwa's like, oh, babe, you know, you just kind of go from the hotel to the cab to the venue, so you don't feel it. I'm like, lies.
I feel all of it. I feel it in my bones.
All of it.
Especially when you're shooting as well. It's kind of hard to like.
The one day I was shooting and I had on a dress, but then I had on like thermals underneath it. I had like thermal pants underneath as well because I had thigh high boots and a faux fur. And I was cold AF.
Yeah.
I couldn't deal.
No.
You people are lying.
You know, we
had cold.
We had scored this amazing experience with Maybelline to do something with Adriana Lima. It was like a boxing class.
Oh my gosh,
Keith and I were so excited. Because I like hustled a lot of the stuff with the brands while we were there. So I was like, please just get me into this and this. And we met people and then I like just hustled my way there. Anyway, we got this experience. We woke up. It was flipping snowing. It was so cold. Like, we couldn't even, like, we couldn't make it there.
Yeah.
Like, we went outside, like, I don't think I can do this. And I regretted so much because at that time I didn't know about Dog Pound. And I was at the Dog Pound, like, this famous gym in New York with Adriana Lima. Yeah. And I'm like, why did I do this to myself? Anyway, we saw in a lift later on, so it was fine.
Oh my gosh.
Did you see any cool celebrities there?
I sat behind Patrick Starr because I also hustled myself a nice show with Maybelline.
Shout out.
No, they're amazing. And it was the Libertine show, which is so epic. Like, this stuff
and it's so like modern and cool.
Yeah. And it's also so different, but so not. And I don't know. I just felt like there were really cool Eastern influences and everything in the collection
and
was
like
really
inspiring
amazing.
Vibes.
But yeah, I sat behind Patrick Starr. And he had like this massive feather headpiece on.
Oh gosh.
Like, I mean,
did you see anything?
I could see, but it was a lot. It was a lot. It was like bigger than his head.
And so I saw that you met Tessa, right?
Yeah, I met Tessa.
How was
that? So nice.
I feel like you, it's like the Tessa of South Africa in
a
way.
I think so.
Because you do like the presets and like your content's very intentional and like you spend a lot of time curating your content but also planning it and which I think she also does. And for those who don't know, Tessa is a New York-based fashion influencer and she has her own editing app and the editing app's really cool. I actually just downloaded it like 6 months ago.
I use it for like on-the-go stuff.
Yeah, it's really fun. And you can edit video on there and stuff. Mm. So what was it like meeting her? Was she just, was
she
it a
was
quick meet?
She was super nice. Like, I just saw, she's like, I saw a bunch of other bloggers there as well. I saw Danielle Bernstein as well. And I love so her, nice. But I've never, I just didn't feel like going up to her. I literally nearly fell on her. That's how I saw her. I was going to my first show and like, everyone was like shoving because it's cold.
Yeah.
And I tripped. As one does.
Oh my god, naturally.
Actually, I caught myself and then I nearly fell on her and I was like,
and then you just moved along.
But Teza was super nice. I actually went up to her and I was like, listen, I would not normally do this, but I just want to say you're such an inspiration. Yeah. You're so amazing. And I just wanted to come say hi because I'm all the way from South Africa. So I don't know where I'm going to see you again. And she was like, no ways. And then she hugged me and she's like, no, we have to take a picture. But the only thing is like the way that she spoke. And the things that she said, it almost like didn't match, but it's because she was definitely tired. Like you could see, if you watch the stories were tiny dots and you could see she had partnered with so many brands on Fashion Week. So she was like, yeah, we should take a picture. Oh my gosh, you're so tall, just like me. That, like, we spoke about being tall.
I don't know how they survived because like those international bloggers, like a lot of people or influencers, sorry, a lot of people, we all consume their content, like the Camilla Kulos, Chiara Ferragnis of the world. But then when you go to New York Fashion Week and you see them working, it's so insane.
Yeah,
they are like so busy. Yeah. Their teams are like,
and the teams are around them
making content all the time, which is like insane. Kiki, I want to go back to talk a little bit more about your book. Can you tell us, you know, what it's going to be about? Would you have a name for it yet?
It's called Booked, Busy and Verified.
Oh my god, I love the title. I really feel you should print it out and have it in stores.
I know.
You know, you'd be like the first person to do that.
I was thinking about it. I'm not against doing it.
Yeah.
I just wanted it to be something that is accessible also to other people. Like, I want you to have it on your phone.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I want it to be in your pocket, so whether you are traveling or you're shooting, you know, and you're like, oh, what's that thing that she said about lighting again? Yeah, just go there.
But
so,
wouldn't you maybe then do like a paperback cover? And
I'm not against
and then
it
also do like a download.
I just also feel like it's such a it's so much pressure. But the other thing that I love, because we obviously did the presets, we launched those end of 2018 and they did so unbelievably well. And like people still buy them, and I'm like, I don't even talk about this anymore. Like, you know, we just leave the site up and it's such a like digital product for me is something that I would recommend to any digital entrepreneur, because it's like an instant download. People have it immediately. It's not a matter of, yo, I must buy this now and I must wait for it to come in the mail. Oh, they're out of stock. Oh, pre-order. Like all these things. Those things aren't bad.
But I think like the vanity in me is like, you need to have your face in a bookstore.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw how beautiful Nakia Maid's cookbook looks, I was like, I want a book. But
inspired by that as well.
How stunning.
No, you know why I find Nakia.
I was like, how beautiful does this
look? So for those who don't know, Nakia is kind of like an influencer, right? Yeah, she's an influencer, but she's a bit older than us and she's got kids and stuff. And it just, she's kind of like the, she kind of shows you that there's never too late. Mm. Like you can do it whenever you're ready.
She has like four kids.
Yeah, she's got four kids. And I think she's probably in like her 40s or something.
Possibly,
like that.
Yeah.
Possibly. I don't know. I just suspect that because of four kids.
Yeah.
She could be younger. But it just shows like you can start at any stage. Like you don't have to be doing this in your 20s. Yeah. And definitely. I feel like I can see your face at Exclusive Books like there on the shelf.
I definitely could see it too. But I feel like I'm not there yet. And also because it's all the topics that it's covering is digital. It just feels best right now in a digital format.
So does it cover like how to be an influencer or what exactly?
So basically the whole idea with the book is whether you have a business or whether you are your business, you can learn something from the book.
Okay.
So it starts off with asking a lot of tough questions, because I just feel like, you know, we have so many beautiful, even super talented people in Cape Town, in South Africa, who just don't know how to turn what they have into a business.
Yeah.
You know, you have 20,000 followers, but do you have the right followers?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you could be a mega hottie. You've got 20,000 followers, but 18,000 of those are men who think you're super hot.
And you can't,
you know,
sell anything
so
to
you
them,
can maybe sell them a video game, but you don't have, try and work with Clarence. You know what I'm saying? Okay, unless they're all very into skincare, which, you know what I mean. Maybe that was a bad example. Whatever. But
I know what you're trying to say. Like, you could maybe if you're trying to sell, like, cakes, for example, but then everybody who's following you don't really like cakes.
Yeah, so it's basically, it takes you through asking, like, those tough questions, like, why do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Like, you have to answer them honestly. Or
so, like, kind of like a workbook or a guideline.
Yeah. So, you, because you always have to go back to that mission. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I think that's important for anyone who's in a as a business. Because, like, a lot of the time you meet talented people, like, running really cool little operations, but they don't know how to use social media to, like, market that.
You have to, like, know, what is it that I actually want?
Yeah.
How am I going to do this? Because you can't be everything. You can't do everything. And you can't be like everyone else.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, that's the biggest mistake. Like, I made that mistake. I'm like, everyone's doing this now. Oh, I must not also do that.
Yeah.
No, you need to actually just slow the fuck down.
Yeah.
And just do you.
Totally.
Know?
And I think also
your
like
way and map your way out and be honest with yourself. It's so important in your journey. If you're not honest with yourself, you're constantly going to be looking everywhere else and living somebody else's truth. Do you know what I mean?
Totally. And I think it's a great, you have a great positioning because you do have a really loyal following who supported you. So you have that like data to support that this actually does work. If you just focus on your niche following, your audience specifically, it's not about, I think slowly people are learning that it's moving away from numbers. Like, you don't need to have millions of followers to be.
It's about a quality audience.
Yeah.
It's
like I look at my cousin. She sells so many workouts. Yeah. And she's got way less followers than me.
Yeah.
She probably makes way more money.
Even if you look at like, I mean, we all complain about the engagement sometimes with the Instagram algorithm, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But even if you look at the people here versus overseas, like our engagement's way higher.
Yeah.
So that's something to that it speaks to you because how people here still can't believe that there's this girl that I knew 10 years ago and shit, she's like,
just doing these cool things
on the cover of a magazine or she's on a billboard or, you know what I mean, it's like a big deal. So and people really it resonates with them. But basically for me, it's not, this book doesn't focus on this is how you're going to become famous. It focuses on this is how you're going to build an epic community that is going to have your back. That's going to support you. That's going to have the same kind of vision and mindset as you. And you know what I mean? It's just like, it's a community.
I do want to talk quickly about PCOS because I know that you suffer from it and you're quite like a little bit of an activist when it comes to. Can you tell people what PCOS is? Because I'm sure there are lots of guys going, what?
So PCOS is polycystic ovarian syndrome.
Okay.
It's basically when you're supposed to like ovulate and then the egg's supposed to come down and then it doesn't and then it forms a cyst.
Okay.
Which sucks. So you'll obviously sometimes that means that like you can't fall pregnant because there's no egg coming down. And sometimes you'll skip periods. A lot of
it's also
is
very painful, right?
Yeah, it can be really painful. So last year I actually had I had to be hospitalized because I had a ruptured cyst.
I thought
that was my appendix. And then I couldn't walk because like just the pressure was, really hectic. And then I was just in pain. I had to go to the ER and they're like, you're fine now. It ruptured. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, wow.
But it was really bad.
Yeah.
But then something super amazing happened where I spoke about it online. And this is why it's so important to lean into your insecurities. And we just formed like almost like a little PCOS community. We all like check up on each other.
I think it's important.
Yeah. And like there was just this really helpful thread that ended up happening in my comment section. And so many women saved it. And they're like, you know what? I still go back and I read it for help and all of that. But anyways, Lala Hirayama actually reached out to me. Because I don't know if you know, she and her uncle launched this range of PCOS tablets. So it's basically like almost like a vitamin. It's like a natural supplement.
Oh, sure. But I know she had it because I've traveled with her before. But amazing. I didn't know that she has like a vitamin.
So her uncle basically is this super, 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 super established doctor, integrative doctor, homeopath. Like he's got like a zillion degrees and has taught all over the world. So I think he kind of used her as like, well, not the guinea pig, but like he tested it out on her and she saw like really good results. So they came up with this formula. And so I've been on it for a year now and it's been amazing.
What's it called and where can people buy it?
It's called Life Source. So I think it's lifesource.org.z. I just buy like a supply of like 4 at a time.
And it's really helped you.
It's helped me so much.
I know you got like a little bit of anxiety and depression from having PCOS as well.
It basically regulated my hormones so much that my anxiety is just like leveled out. That with collagen that knocks me out at night. I'm just like in the best space.
Yeah,
I just like became like Zen master. Abdul Malik is actually, he says to me, he's like, I don't actually know what to do with you now that you're so calm. Like, it's weird. Like, do you must despise? Was I pick a fight with you? Was I just fight with you so a little for the nostalgia?
It's crazy what hormones like, no, can definitely, do to you. It's definitely. Wild.
Something that I actually find, because you actually asked me this the other day, I'm like, where are you now, like, you know, 10 years in? And I find in many ways I'm going back to basics.
Yeah.
Back to like the core of who I am, but with like more understanding now, more strength, more confidence, financial backing that comes out of my own pocket.
Mm.
You know, you've got all the things you didn't have then,
mm.
that if you had it then, it would have been like, well, you're unstoppable. But now I feel like I'm unstoppable.
Totally.
But in my own lane.
Yeah. I love that. That is such a great way to like end our little chat.
Yeah. It went so fast.
I know. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Kiki.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. It was so much fun.
Yay. And you guys can catch Kiki on Instagram, Facebook, and her website as well. And keep watching out for her ebook that's launching soon. And you can find us on www.bakedonline.co.za. You can listen to our podcast on any podcast app. And then don't forget to share the podcast with your friends. Cheers.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by POC Podcasts. This is a POC podcast
powered by Blue Blood.